Good. We should do Christmas every Sunday, hey? I'm not sure whether Kate would want to do that, but hey, thanks, Kate and Tina. They've done a wonderful job. And Is Marie? No, we're right. Don't need that. Thanks. Yeah. What a great job with those young ones. Oh, wow. I mean, I can't even get young ones to put a cup on the sink, let alone get them to sing like that. Wow. So obviously there's no pressure for me. It's been so good. Hey, great to have you with you. And as Jeff has said, if you're visiting or if you're here all the time, we just want to welcome you to our Port City Christmas celebration. Hey, I want to do a big hats off to our council, because I see so many times at this time of year, councils around Australia going, I'm not even going to say happy holidays, I refuse to say it. And the message, of course, have you noticed our councils down here on the precinct, the Phillip Street precinct? Merry Christmas, Christmas greetings. And down at Glen Lyon Road and Dawson Highway, that grass there with his three flagpoles, there's two very Christmassy, ornate, Merry Christmas flags flowing in the breeze. Good on our Gladstone Region Council for keeping Christmas, eh? Amen. So, this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over, a new one just begun. One of my favourite Christmas songs. I think it's more about protest against war than Christmas, but it does start off with Christmas. So this is Christmas. So what does Christmas mean? I think if we did a survey around town or even in the group that we have here this morning, we would have things like, well, family, friends and food, shopping and the stress of getting everything for Christmas and food, decorations, Christmas trees, Rob and Lauren. Love those Christmas lights, don't you? Yeah, that's good. I'm sure there'd be food. Presents and gift giving. Jeff spoke so well yesterday about gift giving. I'm going to be checking with those two girls next week what they got. What? I can't remember their names now. Hey? Blashty and? I'll just check them. Of course, you've got to have the mandatory Father Christmas photos with the kids in the mall. Yes, of course you do. Oh, okay. Apparently not in this church. And, of course, food. Probably this afternoon, I think some Australians still do it, backyard cricket and the mandatory Nana nap or Papa nap. I'm not sure if I'm going to get that one this Christmas. And did I mention food? Yeah, I did. Okay. And also, if you go on YouTube or any sort of this media thing, there's the whole Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. We know, you don't have to keep reminding us. It's a pagan holiday. Well, if you want it to be a pagan holiday, go and have a pagan holiday. We think it's celebrating the birth of Jesus. I'm pretty happy with that. The nativity scene isn't correct. Well, of course, we know that, but it doesn't matter. Joseph and Mary, they wouldn't have got there that night. They would have got there weeks ahead and all this stuff. And where was Jesus really born? You know, was he out in a paddock? Was he in a shed? Was he in a house? Was he wherever? The three kings, the magis, the whatevers. There was probably more than three. You know that, don't you? Well, I don't know how we know that, because it doesn't even mention the number, but that's okay. Anyway, what do these three New Age stargazers have to do with the birth of Christ? Well, there you go. There's a good one. And did I mention food? All that aside, today is one of the two most important days of the Christian calendar, isn't it? I guess this is the beginning. This is the beginning where a major event for our faith, where there's a lot of unity, there's extra services. We were talking with the neighbours yesterday, and the lady said, oh, it'd be busy time of year for you, Mel. I said, no, we do less. I said, I'm just glad I didn't go to the Catholic or Anglican faith and have to do 15 services a day for the week before Christmas. But it's a time where we come to focus on the birth of Christ, our Lord and Saviour, isn't it? Yeah. And we know the story, don't we? Oh, no. Obviously, I'm going to take longer than I was planning to. I've got to tell you the Christmas story. We know the story, don't we? Yes. Hopefully, some of us have read Matthew and Luke. The prophecies, there's hundreds of prophecies about Jesus' birth. Mary and Joseph on the donkey, traveling all the way from Nazareth. The shepherds in the field being frightened out of their wits by angels. Baby Jesus in a manger somewhere. Those three kings have popped up again. But can I put to you this morning that there is one word in the biblical account of the birth of Christ, just one word, that makes all of what I've just said pale into total insignificance. It makes all of what we think about Christmas about as significant as this little brown speck of dirt that we call Earth compared to the vast universe that we're in. One word that changed everything, that impacted the world so greatly, the ramifications are still being seen today, some 2,000 odd years later. My message today is the word that changed everything. This one word is so powerful and dynamic, and it was first seen in a prophecy by an Old Testament prophet Isaiah some 800 years even before the birth of Christ. This one word that if you don't really truly understand it and its ramifications, you will struggle with faith. Not just Christian faith, but any faith of any sort. Because if you don't get it, you could be any sort of faith you want. See, faith or religion is about keeping God or the gods happy and up there. We don't want them down here. We want them up there. We've got to appease them. We've got to keep them happy. That's why we have temples and things, so we can go and give our offerings so that the gods will be happy. There's prophets and seers and wise men telling us how to live life so you can make it at the end. Do good and work hard at religion and your life will be weighed up at the end to where you're going to go or what's going to happen to you. As I said, it's all about appeasing the gods. I was listening to an interview with a guy by the name Tom Holland. He's the author of a book called Pax, War and Peace in Rome's Golden Age. And he was mentioning how in the Roman time, everything was about the gods. Whatever you did was about the gods. And they had, I don't know how many, they had lots. Isn't Christianity so much simpler? We just got one. And we don't even have to appease him. But he was saying, he's writing about a time where the Rome was probably at its highest. It was that the empire was magnificent. It was the time of the Colosseum and the gladiators and all these things. And he was saying, we look back and we look at the gladiators and all those horrid things that they did in those arenas, and we think, oh, how could you? Why would you even do that and enjoy that and, you know, cheer? And he said it was about appeasing the gods. To them, it wasn't a gruesome tournament, because at the time there'd been a major drought in the empire throughout most of the Roman Empire at that time. Mount Vesuvius had erupted, wiped out Pompeii. So obviously the gods were angry, weren't they? Obvious. Even blind Freddy could tell that. So that was the idea of killing each other in the arena. They would be sacrificed to the gods. So those that were involved were apparently happy to be sacrificed. Not sure if I would have. But see, if we understand this word, everything changes. We'll find it in Matthew 1 and chapter 23. So all this was done. That's this a Christmas account, the prophecies and all the donkeys and the mangers and the Josephs and the Marys. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. The word that changes everything. One of my favorite songs by a singer called Mark Lowry, it's called Mary, Did You Know? I'm sure many of you would know it. Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you kiss the face of God. That's an astounding thought. I haven't got time to let my imagination run riot with Mary and kissing God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Mary, did you know your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. If you got any slight biblical knowledge, you would know that is the name that God gives himself when he speaks to his people. I am. That's all you need to know. The Word. John 1:1-5 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and faith. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us, the Word that changes everything. If you get this, Emmanuel, God with us, if it's in your heart, your spirit, and you understand the enormity of God with us, and it doesn't just run off your tongue and with every other word and Christian Christmas cliche. It won't matter what you do or what you believe at Christmas. Why won't it matter? Because you know he did it for you, and that's all that matters. He left the glory of heaven for you. We've sung Hark the Herald Angels. Christ by heaven, highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. He had to veil himself in flesh. Because one of those songs we were singing talking about glory and coming, and that's what the Jewish leaders were waiting for, a Messiah that was going to come in power and might and destroy those Romans. And if he had come like that, he would have destroyed the whole world. We wouldn't be here. In his wisdom, he came as a baby. Emmanuel, God with us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The greatest gift of all time. If you were here yesterday, you would have heard Jeff speak so well on gifts. And that, as we saw, some gifts are appreciated, apparently, and others not so much. Today, what are you going to do with that gift? Emmanuel, God with us. Are you going to take it? Grab hold of it, enjoy it, or just push it aside? There's no middle ground with God with us. When you hear it, you've got to make a choice. You can't walk down the middle. Either you embrace it or you reject it. He left the glory of heaven for you. Let's pray. If the music team could come back up, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I guess that you're just so awesome. We have no idea why you would have a plan that you did. I guess we try to work it out. we can't really truly grasp. But we thank you, though, that you did have this plan, that you would come as Emmanuel, God with us, the great I am, pleased with us in flesh to dwell. Father, this morning and today, as we go about our day of celebration, whatever we're doing, may we just be ever mindful of the greatest gift that has ever been given, and that we can enjoy our Christmas pastime, and we can enjoy our faith, knowing you have come for us. None of us were worthy, but you've made us worthy. Father, we give you all the praise and all the honour this morning. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, with us, please? Hey, if you're visiting with us, thanks for being with us. Thanks, everyone, for coming this morning. Thank you, team, for the wonderful job that you've done for our service. It's been absolutely fantastic. Whatever you're doing today or during this holiday season, if you're travelling, please take care. We want to see you back. And so have a great day. Merry Christmas.